This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:35. Good morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. With the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency announcing new pollution limits for coal-fired power plants to address climate change, many are seeking alternative energy sources. As Cecilia Mason reports, a new organization in the Eastern Panhandle wants to bring solar to churches, government buildings, libraries, and other nonprofits across the state, starting in Shepherdstown.
The Shepherdstown Presbyterians meet in a circa 1836 brick building that sits just across the street from the town's post office, about two blocks from the main street. A few years ago, the growing congregation put an addition on the building that houses modern meeting and gathering rooms. Soon, the roof of this addition will be topped with solar panels, thanks to the newly formed nonprofit organization Solar Holler. After working on solar initiatives in several other East Coast states, Dan Conant wanted to come back to Shepherdstown, where he was born and raised, so he founded Solar Holler.
And really wanted to use solar as a way to diversify our state's economy. And it's just always been really hard. There's been lots of challenges put in the way, and it wasn't easy to make the business case right away. So we needed to develop innovative methods of making solar affordable for these groups.
Conant says there are federal tax incentives for installing solar systems on buildings, but nonprofit organizations like churches are not able to take advantage of these incentives because they don't pay any taxes to begin with. So that often leaves nonprofits scrambling for money by collecting donations and applying for grants when they want to install something like the $60,000 system that will go on the Shepherdstown Presbyterian Church.
Instead, we've taken out a loan to cover the cost of the system, and then that loan is paid back over the next 5 years when individual families and businesses around Shepherdstown install little remote control devices on their home or business water tanks.
120 people have agreed to have the boxes installed on their electric water tanks. The boxes constantly measure electric demand and adjust the energy use of the water heaters accordingly. The boxes belong to Mosaic Power, a Maryland company that pays property owners willing to participate. The 120 supporters of the Shepherdstown Presbyterian Church project have agreed to give that payment to the church to pay back the loan over a five-year period.
About 40% of the church's power would be coming from the solar panels on the roof here.
Than Hitt is a church member who serves on the solar committee.
And that's going to be a cost savings to the church moving forward. Well, we know energy prices are increasing, and this really is about a long-term plan for financial stewardship. There are also environmental benefits, and those come in different forms. The production of clean energy on the church here is really important, but also by harnessing home water tanks and the energy efficiency from that has a huge environmental benefit too. It sums up to be the equivalent of planting about 150 acres of trees every year.
The Shepherdstown Presbyterian Church project is the first of what Conant hopes will be many projects across West Virginia that will allow nonprofits and governments to lower their electric bills by installing solar panels.
It seems like every week now we're getting another nonprofit organization around West Virginia coming to us for help, whether it's the Harpers Ferry Library that just voted to do a similar project or Lewisburg City Hall. We're seeing municipalities, libraries, schools, affordable housing groups come to us. And that was really a key factor in how we designed the program. We wanted to make a program that could not just work in Shepherdstown or in other fairly well-to-do places across the state. We wanted to make a system that could work for any community, any county, any organization in West Virginia, so long as they've got community support.
And Conant has a larger goal beyond giving nonprofits a way to save on energy costs. He hopes Solar Holler will help create jobs, the kind that young adults like him will be willing to do so they can stay in West Virginia.
We can't keep holding on to the jobs of the 1950s and 60s and thinking that that's the way it's always going to be. We need to have creative communities that focus on building new things, building exciting things, And it's not just solar, it's not just renewable energy, it's also software design, it's new high-tech industries, it's things that will stop the brain drain and actually keep people at home.
Conant says West Virginia has a lot to offer. He mentions amazing mountains, rafting, beauty, and he says it's a state that's a joy to be in.
But we need to make it possible for people to actually make a living here and do it in a way that isn't just punching the clock, but is actually a joy to be a part of every single day.
The Shepherdstown Presbyterian Church expects to have its solar panels installed sometime in August. In the meantime, Conant is busy talking to other organizations to determine what the next big project will be. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Cecilia Mason in Shepherdstown.
This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:41. Some rain and thunderstorms are lingering this morning, gradually becoming partly cloudy today. Temperatures will be in the 70s, partly cloudy tonight, with lows in the 40s and 50s. The outlook for Friday, partly cloudy skies, temperatures remaining in the 70s. Mostly sunny on Saturday, there is a chance of rain and thunderstorms on Sunday.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by West Virginia Public Theater, presenting Dames at Sea, South Pacific, Hank Williams' Lost Highway, and the rock opera Tommy. Details at wvpublictheater.org. Support is also provided by State Electric Supply Company, your full-line electrical supply distributor. Online at stateelectric.com.
The West Virginia Division of Forestry just got a major tool to help combat forest disease and invasive species. Through an act of Congress, the Monongahela National Forest has just been designated an insect and disease area. As Glennis Board reports, the designation is designed to streamline efforts to combat insect and disease threats.
The Insect and Disease Area designation was announced May 20th by U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. The Forest Service has been engaged in shaping the designation, which has been made possible through the 2014 Farm Bill and applies to 94 national forest areas in 35 states that are either experiencing or at risk of insect or disease epidemic. The service cites wildfires as one of the latent threats created when forests become diseased or damaged from infestations.
Trees that are dead, it makes the fuel, the forest, more ripe to burn, and so we're getting more intensive, larger fires than we have ever had before.
Director of the West Virginia Division of Forestry, Randy Dye.
You know, we had forest health programs, and we tried to improve the forest health for many, many years in this nation. And in the last 15, invasive species have exploded.
Dye says invasive species include insects and also introduced plants. He says it's a crisis across the country.
It's gradually been arriving on the shores and migrates inland, and now areas are infested. It's going to take everyone's awareness and cooperation to eliminate it. If we can just stop any new one from arriving, that would be a major accomplishment.
Governor Earl Ray Tomlin requested the designation for the Monongahela National Forest in April, citing threats that include beech bark disease, the hemlock woolly adelgid, gypsy moths, and the emerald ash borer. The Mon National Forest covers almost a million acres across 10 counties in West Virginia. Dye says if these threats went unattended, the results could be disastrous.
Yeah, just imagine if all the oak trees were gone, that means there'd be no acorns. Squirrel, deer, bear, much of our wildlife that we cherish in this state and on the Mon Forest need acorns to survive.
The new insect and disease area designation will allow the Forest Service to more efficiently combat threats with treatments and restoration projects.
The insects don't wait for years for us to go through our processes. It's something we have to get a handle on and do very quickly, or we're not going to have the forest in the future that we do today. It'll be something totally different. So this is a step in the right direction so we can address those issues.
Dye contends that an informed public is also key if there's any hope of combating these overwhelming forces. He says even knowing not to transport firewood in and out of different forested areas is helpful. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Glynis Board in Morgantown.
The waters of Bluestone Lake came alive over the weekend as boats raced for their chance to participate in a national championship. The race has come back to West Virginia after leaving in the 1990s in favor of other locations across the nation. People from several states attended. Jared Klein brings us up to speed on the event.
For the third year in a row, the American Power Boat Association, or APBA, hosted its annual Junior North American Championship and Pro Eastern Divisionals in West Virginia. On Friday, the marina at Bluestone Lake in Hinton was filled with the sounds of excitement and preparation before the actual race on Saturday. Amy Pond is one of the scorers of the race. She's in charge of keeping track of all the finishes, points, and recordings. The event itself, the Travis Pond Memorial Regatta, was named after her brother who enjoyed the sport and competed in the national championship when he was a child. She says that Hinton has been very welcoming to the event compared to other towns.
This is one of the best races as far as community support that we have, them providing things like RVs and radio coverage. A lot of times we'll just show up in a town and the town's like, oh, there's race boats on the water, and they have no idea.
Chris Johnson, one of the race directors, agreed, saying Hinton stands out compared to other racing spots.
For one thing, the scenery is beautiful. I mean, this is a beautiful place to race, you know, right nestled between these mountains and all that. The water is generally perfect. Even though we race on lakes and rivers and a lot of them are nice looking, this is really the prettiest.
Friday was a day of testing for the racers, tweaking equipment for maximum speed. But the real excitement came the next morning. People like Pond woke up early to run registration and to create a schedule. Racers then attended a driver's meeting where safety and rules were discussed. At 10:30, the actual racing began. Dressed in suits of Kevlar cloth, life jackets, and orange helmets for safety, about 75 racers drove their personally designed powerboats around a track already planned out around the lake at speeds of over 50 miles per hour. 19-year-old Laura Wheeler was one of those racers. She comes from a family of racers and came with her father from Michigan. She says Hinton is a favorite spot for her.
You can set up a really big course here, which is really nice. Everyone here is really friendly. It seems like the town really wants us to be here, so that's always great.
Racers came from as far away as Georgia and Michigan. Matt D'Agostino lives just outside the Washington, D.C. area and says that the love of the sport comes from his time out on the water.
This is a hobby sport, you know. Everybody here is an amateur, and mostly it's just because of a love of boating that most of us have developed at some point in life.
At the end of the competition, trophies were awarded to the winners and their names were put onto a list for the possibility of competing in the national championship in Moses Lake, Washington. In 2016, though, the national championships will be hosted right here. Racers from all of the 16 APBA districts will come to West Virginia for their chance at national glory. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jared Klein in Hinton.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We're interested in your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Follow us on Twitter at WV Public News and find us on Facebook. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Beneduccio. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.